I was intrigued with how often in the word fragrance is used. Mm. And then finding out that cinnamon and my name was in the anointing oil. And so like it starts, you start doing digging down a little bit. You're like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, we're Christ's aroma.
This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guest is Kezia Curry, originally from Hotlanta. Mm-hmm. Kezia radiates a fiery passion from God and for others. She's named after one of Job's daughters in the Old Testament, which means sweet-smelling spice. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we go along in the podcast. Kezia has released 3 music projects that center around the healing truth of God's word. She is married to Randy, a U.S. Army chaplain, and they've been blessed to live many places around the world in service to both the country and their Lord. She has a PhD in education, and her formal occupation has been as a university professor and educational consultant. And she loves to teach. She loves music. She loves faith, education. But the thing she loves most is Randy and the son they welcomed a couple years ago into their family, Xander. So, Kezia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Now, one thing that's just interesting to give people some context is just sort of talk about, like, what's your connection to Grace?
My connection to Grace is my daddy. So my daddy was the first African-American to graduate from the seminary here in Grace. And as before I was born, so I was born probably about 6 or 7 years after he graduated. But that's how I'm connected to Grace. And now I actually have family that lives here because some of my cousins and uncles and aunts moved up to Grace from or to Wine on the Lake and Warsaw from there, Atlanta. So I have a strong connection.
Yeah, I remember, you know, we honored him at a graduation last year with an honorary doctorate degree for his years of life in ministry, and it was just so cool to hear the story of him even finding out about Grace through your mom, and then getting on a bus, having never been here, and just moving up here and plopping down. A crazy story, but it was cool to see how the Lord, you know, met one of his best friends on the first day, and they've done ministry together ever since. Mm-hmm. Just amazing how the Lord has done that. So I mentioned Hotlanta. Tell me a little bit about growing up in Atlanta, sort of what was home environment like? How did that then begin to influence you when it came to your passions around education and music?
Grew up in a pastor's home. So there was music, choir, and that kind of stuff. And Atlanta is full of, I'm biased, but Atlanta is full of wonderful culture and history. And so had the opportunity to grow up in that environment, and it's like, oh wow, there's so many cool things, and there's from my hometown, so I've always enjoyed culture and activities. So being in a pastor's home, music was part of that. I went to Christian school, so we did, you know, I was involved in activities, chorus, chorale, all those types of things. And at church, you know, we were doing the, I think I was Mary in the cantatas a couple times, and so, or when an Christmas, angel, of course, yeah. I'm an angel, right? I'm an angel now, but you know, so being able to be involved in that is, that's kind of how it was brought up, and being in, like I said, in a pastor's home, being exposed to music and the ministry, and being in Atlanta, being exposed to a lot of culture, there was a lot of that came together.
And how about education? Where did your passion from education come from?
My parents were educators, formal educators. My mom got a degree in Christian education, and my dad's, his undergraduate degree was in education. And so that was always our life as well. And my dad, his teaching, he's a pastor and he's a great preacher, but he's also a good teacher. And so my mom used to teach Vacation Bible School and that kind of thing. So I was tagging along with them and learning about the teaching and pedagogy even in that way. Mm-hmm. And so that passion for teaching, because I saw what happened when you are giving information and somebody understands it, mm. and comprehends the comprehension light that comes on, and you're like, oh my goodness. And it makes a difference. So it goes from something that somebody will not know how to do. You teach them, they know how to do it, and then their life has changed because they now know how to read, or they now know how to, you know, dissect a frog or whatever, so that they can become a doctor. So those are the types of things. That's where their passion for education came from home, but also just seeing that transformation that it makes.
So then in your professional career, you know, professor in education, and so you did that, but you also were used your music as an avenue for ministry. Tell us a little bit about that journey of just what did that look like then, you know, beyond the cantatas and the playing of the angel or Mary, like when you decided this was something you could do, you know, professionally, or do record some CDs. How did that happen and what did that look like for you?
Confirmation from doing those things like the cantatas and being the Mary and that kind of stuff. When people would, the response that people would have to me singing, and that would kind of be like, oh, because people would say, you know, that really moved me, and you know, or something like that. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. So that confirmation was the Lord showing me that there was a gifting there, and I enjoyed it, and they had the ability to do it. So then I started, people were inviting me to do different types of things, or I would, you know, like I traveled a lot on the singing team in college. Uh-huh. And so that was part of the impetus for me being able to do more solo work or whatever. And so that those opportunities came out of those settings and situations where I was traveling, and then people would ask me, well, do you sing? You know, would you come and do, you know, a conference or concert for us? I'm like, well, yeah. So that kind of started that, and being able,
And three CDs later.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I want to take a little divergent path from music, but we're going to come back to it at the end and talk a little bit about your family. So, you know, you had a successful career going, met a guy and
all that came tumbling down.
And then literally ended up around the world doing stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
So just talk about, you know, one of the programs we have is a chaplaincy program here on our campus. I'm interested in knowing what the life of chaplaincy is like. Like, even just what does it look like for you? What does it look like for him? You're moving around the world. What does that just even look like? I don't have a very good concept of even what chaplaincy really. I think of like a pastor in the military, but I don't know exactly what does that look like.
It is kind of like a pastor in the military. He's a soldier, but he's a pastor. And the difference between being a pastor in the military and a pastor on the economy, as we say, or in the society, in the community, is that you are tasked with ensuring the spiritual well-being of those, your soldiers that you serve. So they may or may not be your religious ilk, but you're still responsible for helping them find and pastoring them in the sense that you are providing for their spiritual needs. And so you don't lose your denominational role. You don't lose your theological stance. You're not forced to compromise that. So that's something that we probably need to make sure that people know.
Right.
Because people are like, chaplains, they're not able to pray in Jesus' name. That's not true. They can if they believe in Jesus and they pray in Jesus' name. But you're not proselytizing other people to try to make them become your particular brand of Christian or brand of faith. But you are, while staying true to your faith and your understanding, you're providing for the spiritual well-being of the people that you're entrusted to your care. So, but that involves many things, different programs, different educational programs that the spiritual resilience, marital counseling, all kinds of things that takes place that you would do as a pastor, except you're wearing a uniform and it's a different kind of your office. You're serving soldiers, and then you're serving their families as well. So there is a lot of parallel, but you don't have the deacons' meetings.
There you go. No church meetings.
No church meetings.
No arguments
none of that.
Over the color of the carpet.
Well, there still may be some of those because you got other people to argue about it. But there are those parallels, but then there's the differences because it is the governmental role that you're playing, that you're making sure that everybody has their ability to serve and worship in the way that they see fit, and you're able to help them in that way.
And for you, what is the role of a spouse of a chaplain looked like?
One of the things that's really interesting was when I first got married, and they, I was talking to one of Randy's commanders, and he was saying, the chaplain who was his commander, and said, now you need to know this is his calling. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be your calling, which is kind of freeing in a sense, I mean, because it wasn't like, you're not the chaplain. You don't have to be the chaplain. You need to support him, obviously, but you're not the chaplain in it. So you're not, you know, I'm not going into the chapel or into his job and picking the carpet, whereas a pastor's wife might do that. And so that was freeing, but also it let you know that you could be a team, and however your marriage is, however God created your marriage, you can, whatever your gifting is, you can help and be a part in that way without feeling like you're required to do a certain thing. So that was helpful. And it's kind of interesting because I grew up in a pastor's home. So, you know, my mom was had everybody over to their house and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is great. But I didn't have to do that. But I do that because that is part of how our faith is in hospitality and those kinds of things. But it's not a requirement. So yeah, I've enjoyed that piece, being able to be my person that God has called me to be. I still can be, but in support of him. So it's worked out really well for us. But there are some chaplains who their wives or their spouses, and not always wives, their spouses are doing something totally different. And they're free to do that because they're not being paid and not on the payroll, and they don't have to answer to the U.S. government for being a chaplain. Yeah.
That's good to know, just sort of context. Mm-hmm. And one of those things you've done, being sort of free to be yourself, is, as you've mentioned, go around speaking, go around singing. Mm-hmm. And today you did both of those in chapel, which students loved. And you talked about aroma. You talked about scent and smell, which, you're right, is all over the Bible. And I've never really talked about it or thought about it. So one, why? How did you sort of pick up on this? And then why should we care?
I picked up on it because of my name, literally. I mean, and, you know, just fascination, because people are always like, what's your name? Keisha, Kaizia, whatever, all kind of stuff. So I'm always having to correct. And then I get the chance to explain that actually it's in the Bible. So that actually has been a really great witnessing tool, too, to people when I'm saying my name's in the Bible. And it's like, it is. And so, and it's Hebrew, because people think, is it African? I'm like, no, it's not African. You know, so you get a chance to explain all of that. And so I've always been intrigued with what does it mean. And so I've done a, you know, study of my name and what does it mean, and how does that, you know, because names in the Bible are very
big deal.
Yeah, big deal. And so it's like, so, you know, is that kind of like me? And then, of course, the guy has, you know, he's got jokes and really in some ways, and he had me marry a curry. So I'm like, because he occurs. So I got double extra, extra spice.
Spicy curry.
Yeah, spicy
that's
curry.
What you like to order, huh?
That's right. That's right. I'm like, so it just always intrigued me because of names being so prominent in the Bible and so important. And then knowing my name was in the Bible and then what it meant. Mm. So I'm like, well, let me see what's going on. And I, like I said before in chapel, I enjoy stuff that smells good. I was reading, as I was researching this, I was reading about Queen Elizabeth. Not the most recent one, but there was one before her, right? I can't remember. Yeah. Who she always made sure that the public spaces had good fragrance because she didn't like stench. Mm. And I'm like, I am a queen.
you're similar. Huh?
I am similar. But I was intrigued with how often in the word fragrance is used. Mm. And then finding out that cinnamon and my name was in the anointing oil. And so like it starts, you start doing it, digging down a little bit. You're like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, we're Christ's aroma, sweet smell of the gospel, all those types of things. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, there's a lot.
Sacrifices.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus and body wrap and spices.
Yes.
Yeah, just on and on and on.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was, and then the frankincense and myrrh. It's like, okay, There's a lot of smell going on in the Bible, and some of it good, some of it bad. You know, being in the stable, when Jesus was born, and you think about that's about one of the only times we talk about fragrance in the word, except for, you know, sweet smell of the gospel and the prayers, is, you know, the stench that was probably in the trough, that kind of stuff. But then we don't really think about the other things. And so that's kind of, so whenever I see that in the word, I'm intrigued. And then I started looking at how many times aroma, fragrance, scent, oil has been mentioned in the Bible. And it's quite a lot. Mm. So I'm like, okay. And let me see where that's going to lead.
Hmm. It was a really thoughtful message, and one I'm thinking I just have been ruminating on all day. Of like, you know what? We talk about like what we see a lot, what we touch, what we hear, what we taste, but that sense that God has given us of smell is one we don't think about mm-hmm. as much.
But we use it a lot more than we. Then we
realize.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. It impacts us all the time. But
all
we don't
the time.
Really think about it.
No.
And, you know, as you and I have in common, we have boys. And so we think about smell a little bit more than others, right?
Yes, we do.
It's a different kind
of
smell.
Like, how can a 2-year-old have really stinky feet? Well, how is that possible? But it is possible. And it's like, oh my goodness. So it's like, okay.
Well, your family has been such a blessing to us at Grace. It was wonderful to have your parents here a couple times last mm-hmm, year, speaking in chapel and then for graduation, and then to have you come back. We appreciate the ongoing investment into our students, into our student body, and the legacy of your family here at Grace. And so thank you for coming and being a part of this. If people wanted to learn more about you, find out more about your music, what's the best way to do that?
I do have a website. It needs to be updated, but I have a website and it will be updated soon. But it is www.kaziamusic.com. So that's probably the best way at this point to do that. And so I will check those.
And when you said you're going to be dropping hopefully some new music soon. So
I am. Yes.
You can check that out there. Great.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you, Kazia. And thank you all for listening today to the Grace Story Podcast. Thanks to our marketing team for working and producing it. And of course, share this with others if you can. And if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with us, you can do so at podcast@grace.edu. And until next time, live your best Grace story today.